This week's episode of the Dive Podcast is brought to you by Neil Kelly, a leader in the design, installation, and maintenance of residential solar energy systems in Oregon. Visit neilkelly.com/solar to learn more and to schedule a complimentary solar assessment, or call them at 503-288-7461. Visit Killer Burger, home of the Peanut Butter Pickle Bacon Burger, a 1/3-pound ground chuck patty layered with bacon, signature peanut butter and house sauces, grilled onions, and pickles. All burgers come with made-to-order fries. Visit one of Killer Burger's 14 Greater Portland area locations or order online and get it delivered through www.killerburger.com. Welcome to the Dive Podcast, presented by Willamette Week, where every Saturday we discuss the biggest news stories of the week with Portland's noisiest newsmakers, savviest culturistas, and some of the best journalists in the game. I'm your host, Brianna Wheeler, and I want to hear from you. So send your questions and comments to me, bwheeler@wweek.com. All right, y'all, enjoy the show.
I would say for our listeners that the Flynn campaign chose their interview. Mm-hmm. Or at least they chose who was not in their room.
Uh-oh. Sounds like Rachel Monahan's investigating someone. And yes, we are going to talk all about it. The 2020 census determined that enough people had moved to Oregon to qualify the state for another seat in Congress. Over time, new lines were drawn, and now the seat for District 6 is up for grabs. There's no incumbent, so the field is wide open, and one billionaire seems unreasonably invested in someone who seems like maybe an unlikely candidate. Distinguished Willamette Week journalist Rachel Monahan has been paying extraordinarily close attention, and she's going to break down why this contest requires such close attention in this week's discussion, Bitcoin Republic. It's Saturday, May 7th. And this is episode 70 of The Dive. For better or worse, the most talked about candidate in this race is Carrick Flynn, a fellow whose campaign is, to me, personally, vaguely reminiscent of this Futurama bit where a presidential candidate pounds on a platform and barks in a Kennedy-esque timbre, "It's time someone had the courage to say, I'm against those things that everybody hates." I mean, dude even looks like the cartoon candidate, except for the requisite politician suit. Flynn's uniform is more button-up flannel, work pants, work boots than bro who went to Yale and worked at think tanks. But, yo, I am not here to judge your sartorial choices, Carrick. You better go ahead and dress for the jobs you want for the people you aim to represent. Which brings me to my next point. Carrick's campaign is supported by a super PAC whose primary donor is the richest man in cryptocurrency, one Sam Bankman-Fried. Let me say that again. A district that contains Polk County, Yamhill County, and portions of Marion, Clackamas, and Washington counties has the crypto billionaire pouring outrageous amounts of cash, something in the neighborhood of like $9 million, into a candidate who I really feel is the most likely to win a Futurama clone president cosplay contest. Are there even 9 million people in the 6th district? Rachel's been building this story for a few, so she's got quite a bit of tea to spill on not just crypto cash campaigns and the strange workings of Bankman-Fried, but also how the district was mapped, which career politicians tried to get the early advantage, and how residents of the 6th district counties are reacting to what ought to be authentic community representation, but is potentially being bought with just the newest of new money. For context, we'll also reference a podcast Flynn appeared on called The Bridge by OR360. We encourage listeners to give that pod a listen as well and get Carrick's perspective firsthand. And, you know, learn how he feels about endangered owls. We'll dish all that up with Rachel in just a sec, but first, here's what I learned from this week's edition of Willamette Week. Well, my real estate backup plan of buying a quaint mountain shack and rhododendron has been way harshly dashed upon learning the mountain town's real estate values have increased by 42%. So can we terraform the garbage patch yet? I'm down to gentrify trash. A new lawsuit filed in Multnomah County is shining a light on the issue of abuse of disabled adults by their caregivers. Neurodiversity looms large in my family, and a lot of families just like mine, which makes the organization Crime Survivor Project's statistics even more chilling. More than 90% of people with developmental disabilities will be sexually assaulted, and that abuse has a high rate of continuing throughout their lives. Y'all ready for another Futurama reference? I don't want to live on this planet anymore. Carrick Flynn, that Yaley, Oregonian, CryptoPac-backed candidate that I was just talking about, finally sat down on a call with Willamette Week's news team after not attending the paper's endorsement interviews. Rather than me unpacking that vibe for you, here's a quick clip of that interview, and fair warning, I did not edit this audio clip for brevity. This is exactly how it shook out.
Carrick, I'm just curious about your thoughts about the way in which you appear to be leading the polls in your district. It's not because you've got high name recognition. It's not because you've worked in the district and the legislature. It's because someone who you say you've never met has spent $7 million on your campaign. Independent of, you know, your qualifications, is that, in your mind, is that kosher and democratic? I mean, it's obviously legal. That's not my question.
I think my message is resonating. It's not, there's all that's being said in the media about, sorry, awesome, I've said over. All that's being said in advertisements about me is true. I've only been true about myself. I think in my, I don't know, ideal form of democracy, there's something where all the candidates get an opportunity to really get their message out, but their true message out, and represent their background, you know, what they've done in the past, what their track record is, and what they actually sincerely intend to do going forward. But unfortunately, for reasons, I know historical or to some extent legal, unfortunately, with Citizens United, that's not what we have now. There's, you know, there's a lot of different ways to approach an election, but none of them are that. There's issues with, you know, people who can self-fund, who like kind of cut off access to those of us who absolutely could not. There's issues with people who kind of are, I don't know, elected to some extent by local political machines. But there's also...
I'm sorry, I got to interrupt you because you don't have a whole lot of time. And with all due respect, you're not answering my question. I realize there are a lot of different ways to finance an election. I'm just asking you if you feel like the way in which your election is being financed, that you are at the top of the polls because of the independent expenditure by one gentleman, whether you think that's good for democracy. That's all I'm asking.
I think I don't agree with your premise, which I did say, which was I think my message is resonating. That's
again,
not to say that that's the message.
Independent expenditures, it's very easy, Carrick. Do independent expenditures of this size, are they good for democracy? Simple question.
And I've answered it three times, so I'll move on
okay.
to the next simple question.
Okay.
All right, then. Now, let's get into our discussion on the crypto-crusted 6th District race with Rachel Monahan. I would love to chat about your cover story, Bitcoin Republic, this examination of how cryptocurrency is affecting the race to represent Oregon's newly drawn 6th Congressional District. Tell us how the story all came together.
This is my favorite kind of cover story where a lot of it is already in my notebook. I've been writing brief little updates on the enormous sums of money that are being spent to elect a particular candidate, Carrick Flynn, in the Democratic primary in Oregon's new congressional district. And to explain, Oregon got another congressional district after the 2020 census because people have been moving to Oregon in significant enough numbers that the state gets another representative in Congress. The richest man in cryptocurrency is donating to a PAC that is has spent almost $9 million to elect one candidate.
Wow.
Talking orders of magnitude, there is one candidate who has given $2 million to his own campaign. The fun part about that is he made the money in cryptocurrency exchanges. So, there's layers of cryptocurrency wealth floating around this district.
What is it about Oregon's 6th District that has the richest man in cryptocurrency funneling so much money into this race?
Well, one thing is that it's an open seat. There isn't an incumbent. It is a competitive, on some level, Democratic primary. The PAC is called Protect Our Future. They say they're interested in making sure there isn't another pandemic. And as I understand it, pandemic prevention is something people aren't yet funding that. The government isn't doing everything it can to prevent the next pandemic. Sigh.
Lay sigh, yeah.
We can't even end this one. But anyway, the other thing is that Congress is looking to regulate cryptocurrency and cryptocurrency exchanges. And so that is a business interest that Sam Bankman-Fried has before Congress. It is still a little bit of a mystery why he would spend this much money on one candidate.
I wonder what it... I'm so fascinated by the Carrick Flynn character. Now, from the piece that you and fellow Willamette Week reporter Sophie Peel put together, the feeling is that maybe Flynn is not as well-known as he ought to be. What was the feeling that you got talking to folks who live in the district that Flynn aims to represent?
I think the context is one of the other stories in this package, which is a political contest. Everyone's trying to get ahead. What is different about somebody who has nearly unlimited funds backing their candidacy? And one of the differences is that they don't appear to be running a typical campaign, in that he is not reaching out all the Democratic elected officials and trying to get to know them, you know, with the idea that local elected officials are, you know, they do know something about their constituencies, even if they're imperfect representations sure. of people too. But it was very notable to me that he hasn't tried to meet with the mayor of the largest city in the district. That would be Salem.
Sure. Yeah.
And you know, that was a similar thing we heard from other mayors. He does have an endorsement from one mayor who he did not meet before in person. I mean, there's a little bit of COVID in here too,
sure,
you know,
sure,
but
sure.
He hadn't met the mayor in person when that mayor decided to endorse him. That is a very curious part of the campaign. You know, for people who don't know, he grew up poor. His family was homeless at one point after floods in Vernonia. He has talked about how his family was impacted by the decline of the logging industry in the state. He, in his interviews with my colleagues, he made the point that he hasn't tried to get rich. He's tried to serve.
Yeah, I noticed that he had a reported income of like $44,000 this last year.
Yeah, it's striking. I mean, that speaks to who he is. And it's, to me, I didn't put it in the story, but it's striking that somebody, a couple who together have, you know, something like $150,000 in student debt together has a billionaire spending $9 million on their campaign. It's like, I kind of wonder how that feels.
That is so wild.
I like, personally, to be in a situation where somebody's trying to get me a new job by spending $9 million, but I still have student debt, you know?
Oh my gosh, it's the world we live in. So I want to talk also about the 6th District food chain piece that you put together. And you're kind of unpacking these contemporary campaign financing methods and the redistricting of the map. So what are these four new approaches to campaigning, and what makes each of them extraordinary?
So on the first level, I think the most extraordinary piece is that one of the Democrats running for office had a hand or led the way in the redistricting process.
Yes.
Like, if she didn't, she says she didn't draw the map of the district herself, that it was a compromise worked out by another a Democrat. But it is interesting optics.
Is this Andrea Salinas that you're referring to, or Loretta
Smith? Yes, Andrea Salinas. I mean, as an aside, Loretta Smith got this campaign rolling before the lines were even drawn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the idea of that, I believe, is to like get there first and then people know that they will face you. I think that was aimed at some particular rivals she has.
Sure.
So, who are probably very glad that she scared them out at this point. But anyway, so that's level one. Level two is there's a different model of person who's running for office. Two guys, both of them are self-funding to a degree. Cody Reynolds is putting $2 million of his own money in his fourth race for Congress. He made money in cryptocurrency.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Matt West, who is an Intel engineer. He also has between $1 and $3 million in cryptocurrency. He is self-funding to the tune of $400,000.
Wow.
And the fun part about him is he's representing the left wing of the Democratic Party with a Medicare for All platform and advertising his lifetime membership in the DSA. So, I mean, those guys got in with the idea that if they spent $1 or $2 million on this race, it was theirs. I spoke to a former state representative, Brian Clem, who is a moderate and somebody who thought about running for this seat and did not. And he talked about how he was being recruited by Democrats in Washington to run with the idea that he could come up with his own funding for the race. Democrats don't have a favorable election year situation. People are really unhappy. They're the ones in power. So there are expected to be really close contests and candidates that won't be asking the national Democrats for more financial support are attractive to the party. Which brings us to the next candidate, which is Carrick Flynn, who is being supported by a super PAC. And the way that works, the fun part about it, somebody pointed out to me, is that he doesn't speak in any of the ads that are running on TV.
Oh, yeah.
So far, because the super PAC is running the ads, and they can pull video images of him from his website, and they can pull, you know, pictures of him from, you know, from his website as well. But they don't have, they can't, like, get the candidate to come sit for an ad and produce an ad that way, because they're not, as long as they're spending unlimited funds and not reporting direct donations to the campaign, they can't coordinate directly with the campaign. So he's silent in most of his ads. To paraphrase what Representative Clem said, you know, hopefully he's a good guy, because you can kind of get anyone elected with that amount of money, potentially. We'll see. And the final layer is that, let me be clear, no donations from Sam Bankman-Fried to any of the organizations that have also backed Flynn or consider also backing Flynn have been reported. But a series of other super PACs have endorsed Flynn. The most interesting of them was the National Wildlife Action Fund was going to spend more than $200,000 on Flynn. They have endorsed him, but local environmentalists have endorsed Salinas after Flynn's remarks about spotted owls became public. They seem to have backed off actually running those ads to support Flynn.
Oh, wow.
And speculation is that there is money being offered to these other groups. So Flynn, in explaining rural animosity over efforts to save the spotted owl, said that it's an owl, looks like any other owl.
One thing that stood out to me is that I don't want to assume that he was, you know, recruited by money and that he's not in this race for the best intentions. But it's so alarming that a remark can be taken, like such a flip remark can be taken, and almost like that becomes the campaign is, oh, this guy doesn't care about owls. And that becomes the thing that we're talking about because he can't talk in his ads.
What was most striking to me about the spotted owl remark, it raised a question about whether Flynn really knows where he stands on endangered species.
Yeah.
How the federal government should be conducting that kind of policy, which raises a question about whether he's somebody that should be elected at this point in his career.
Yeah.
I mean, the other thing that got people upset was more, more extreme. He expressed emotional sympathy with Timber Unity, which his campaign has kind of retracted, but he himself, when interviewed, did not. His campaign said he meant to express emotional sympathy with the rural people who faced, you know, the decline of logging. He himself urged everybody to go listen to that interview, and I think it's a fascinating interview.
So what was left out of the piece?
I think that one thing that was left out of the piece, there is a public donation directly from Sam Bankman-Fried to Bold Pack, which is a pack that has endorsed Salinas.
Oh my gosh.
on the order of tens of thousands of dollars, not millions. So
that is what is the connection? What is he planning? What's he doing out there? He's just on an island, manipulating these races on the mainland? Is that what's going on?
I'm certainly interested to see whether he has successfully bought this race. We'll see that in a couple weeks.
Big thanks to this week's guest, journalist extraordinaire Rachel Monahan. And thank you for joining us. I hope you'll join us again next week. Until then, bye!